Intervju Radija Študent.
Lepo zdrav, drage poslušalke in poslušalci Radija Študent. Moje ime je Boris. Zdaj boste prisluhnili intervju z dvema legendama hip-hop glasbe iz New Yorka, Sadat X in Diamond D. First, before we start the interview, I would like to extend our welcome in...
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
And in our town, I know it's your first time here in Slovenia, Ljubljana. I want to clarify one thing. How should I address you? Is it Mr. X or Mr. D or...
Sadat X. Just Sadat or Sadat X or however you want to do it.
Diamond, yep.
Okay. I mean, it's pretty weird. We have two legends. I mean, at the same time, in the same studio, it's physically almost impossible, but we managed to do it. In your opinion, who is the bigger legend of the two?
Well, I mean, I think that we both have made our mark. You know, we came up around the same time. We've done a lot of things together. So I think we just came up as legends in the era, in the golden era together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course, my next question was basically about the golden era. Why do you think hip-hop's golden era was the early to mid-90s? Why, for example, not the 80s or even after the year 2000? What was so special about the mid-90s?
Well, I mean, I guess what I would say is, you know, we came in after a little records had really just come out a little bit after we came out, you know, and it was just a time when it was a lot of good producers, a lot of good music out, and the producers was still digging for music and looking for new ways to sample and stuff like that. So, you know, I think it was a creative era.
Yeah, it was if anything, it was just more creative, yeah. I believe, like during the 90s, the music was just more creative.
And basically we're talking about the beats, more or less. I mean, that was the mark of the mid-90s,
right.
Fat
yes.
drums, fat bass lines.
Right.
That was sort of a breakthrough, a musical breakthrough in hip-hop. What can you tell us about that? You're a beat maker yourself, Diamond.
You know, like I said, you know, it was just more creative. It was much less what I would call microwave music, where, you know, people just sit in front of their computers and just hit a couple of buttons and a couple of chords, and the track is basically finished. I mean, back then, you know, we were digging for records, you know, just trying to be more creative and just trying to be more original.
Yeah, I mean, hip-hop in the 80s was basically very attached to the disco music. The sound was more like electronic, and in the 90s, that's my opinion. But in the 90s, I mean, the beats changed drastically.
Right.
Yeah. Everything just went a little bit more down and much fatter. And basically still the hip-hop of today, when you say golden era, everybody thinks about the 90s. Nobody thinks about the 2003 or something like that.
Right.
But you're still here. You're still here after all these years. My question is to you, Diamond. You're both originally from the Bronx, if I'm
not
mistaken.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How can you... What was so special about the Bronx that the hip-hop originated there? Why didn't it originate in... other town or other borough of New York? What I mean, was that coincidence or some sort of energy?
I don't know. I would say maybe it was a coincidence that Herc and Bam and Flash all happened to be in the Bronx. You know, back then in the 70s, the Bronx was basically like a war zone in some parts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember when I was a kid, when Ronald Reagan was running for president, he came to visit the South Bronx, and he said it looks like Berlin after the war. So, you know, just to give you an idea, if you can you can go online and Google pictures of the South Bronx from the 70s and just look at some of the devastation that was there. But to answer your question, I do believe that it probably was a coincidence that all three of the founding fathers of hip hop just happened to live in the Bronx. So.
It's like, yeah, energy between people. You worked with Fat Joe back in the early 90s.
Right.
I mean, nowadays he's very famous because he's on MTV and with his videos and such. What's your opinion about his work, for example, in the present? Just to get an idea of your perspective of the modern-day hip-hop, because you know his work intimately from that era and now?
Well, what's the question?
I mean, how do you see, for example, his work today? It's more like club-oriented.
Yeah, well, you know, Joe told me himself. At one time, the focus was on lyricism. But Joe told me maybe like last month that he had to like kind of dumb down his vocals and just kind of make it, I guess, less complicated and more easier just to fit into today's music. And, you know, he's been able to do that, you know, and, you know, he also put in a lot of hard work. A lot of people thought that when Big Pun died, that it would be over for him. But, you know, to Joe's credit, he did what he had to do to stay out there, you know, and keep himself relevant, you know, and, you know, he just told me that basically he just had to dumb down everything. It's not really a lot of emphasis on creativity.
Yeah.
It's just more emphasis on club type beats and dumbed down hooks and choruses.
Now you do you agree personally with that or?
I do agree with that. Like, you know, just for today's music, you know, it's just some of it. It's just dumbed. It's just dumbed down. You know what I mean? And
yeah, I mean, my intention is, of course, not to talk about other artists.
Right.
I just wanted to get some perspective. I mean, because I've listened to your last album. It's called The Huge Hefner Chronicles.
Uh-huh.
Before we start, what's the story behind the name? Because I think the listeners don't have a clue.
Okay. Well, I'm a ladies' man. So that's where the Hugh Hefner connection come in. But I use the word huge just because I've been in the game 17 years, and I still get a lot of respect, you know, and that's why I put the title together. You know, I'm still respected after all these years. I'm still working with A-list artists. So, you know, it's just a blessing that I'm able to still do what I love to do.
What struck me the most is it's pretty different than your previous albums. I mean, the flows are more laid back.
Right.
The beats are not as, I mean, they're not as fat. Of course, the time has changed. I have to change the game. But
right.
It's more, I don't know, it sounds a bit softer.
Yeah, well, it was for the females.
Uh-huh.
That album was for the females. That album wasn't for the thugs and the gangsters.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I made that album for my female fans.
Was it successful?
Yes and no. Yeah. Yes to the fact that I'm still out here, you know, doing my thing and touring. But the label didn't really put too much marketing behind the project. I basically just had to just work it myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm not complaining or nothing. It is what it is. And the next album that I put out, it'll be back to the thugs and the gangsters and back to the street shit, back to that hard shit.
Yeah.
But that album, that Huge Hefner Chronicles, yes, that album was typically for the ladies, and that's why the title was called Huge Hefner.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that back to you. What can you tell us about your last album?
Which one?
I think Generation X is.
All right, well, that album is out, Generation X. That was just an album that came out. You know, I did a lot of the majority of that with my man Will Tell. You know, we did a lot of that. Continuing on what I've been doing. You know, I got another album, supposedly. It'll be out in a month. I bought some copies. I'm going to be selling them today. It's called Brand New Being. And it's, you know, got KRS-One on there and a couple other people. And it's just a continuation of what I do. I'm always in the studio, so, you know, I try to put out this music.
How did you two hook up for this tour? I mean, you've been together from back in the 90s. You're friends for a long time and
right.
Artistic companions. But how did you hook up? Is that the first time you tour together?
Well, we've done some shows together, but this is the first time.
European tour.
Yeah, that we do an extensive tour together.
Right.
Yes.
How is it like? I mean,
well, it's cool. You know, I know Diamond, so it makes it easier. It's not like I'm going on the road with somebody I don't know, right, and somebody I don't like and somebody I don't respect. So it just makes it a little easier.
Yeah. Do you make a couple of songs, you, then Diamond, then you, or do you?
Well, on this tour, what we've done is actually we got together and we made a show CD and we just blended some of the songs back and forth together, you know.
Just bounce off each other.
Yeah, it's very popular nowadays in hip-hop that artists come to foreign countries and when they perform maybe 30-40 seconds of each song and they just go back and forth. Is that the kind of thing we can expect from you?
Well,
because personally, I mean, I gotta say I have a problem with that, but...
Well, on my end, a lot of songs that I do, I can only do a piece of because some of them are brand Nubian songs and the rest of the guys are not here.
Of course.
So I can't do the whole songs, but on songs that I can do the whole song, I will do the whole
song. Right, same here. Mm-hmm. Same here.
Excellent, excellent. I just got lost in the paperwork. Yeah. of course, you... What's... I mean, if we step out of the hip-hop context for just a second, what kind of music are you into, or arts in general?
Well, me personally, I mean, I just like a lot of the old soul stuff that that played in my household as I was growing up. You know, the James Brown, Al Green, a lot of the jazz stuff, the Thelonious Monk, Bird, and Charlie Parker. You know, and just different music, man. I like all forms of music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You, Diamond?
Soul music, you know, jazz, some rock.
Yeah.
You know, I listen a little bit of everything.
Basically the classic.
Right.
Classical music. What you're doing beats as well on I'm not familiar with the work that you did on your last album. No, I'm not sure how many.
Right.
But your work or?
The last project, that was my first time where I decided not to produce the whole album. Mm-hmm. Ever since 92, everything I've done, I've always produced everything. So on the Huge Hefner Chronicles, I wanted to just take a break from that and step away and just focus on being an MC for that project. Mm-hmm. I produced 3 songs. The other producers are DJ Scratch, Ill Mind, Knots. This new cat out of Atlanta named Anthony Accurate. But just to make a long story short, yeah, I only produced 3 joints on my last CD, and the other 7 were by other producers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you like to collaborate. On your MySpace, I saw. It's written Sadat is open for bookings, shows, songwriting, etc. Do you write for other people or?
I mean, I have written stuff for other people, but basically, you know, I'm just open to everything, you know. Like I said, I do a lot of shows. I try to stay busy, so I try to explore every avenue.
Mm. How do you see touring Europe? I mean, you're basically, it's not your first time in Europe, and you've been all over the world, but how do you see, for example, hip-hop in Europe? That's my question for every United States rapper who come to Europe.
Well, I mean, it depends on what part of Europe you're talking about. Some parts of Europe have been exposed to hip-hop since the beginning. When you're talking about places like Germany, those places have been exposed to hip-hop for a long time. So when you go there, sometimes it's more of an enthusiastic response. Whereas some of the new places that you go into that are, like for instance, maybe some of these places and other places that maybe 10, 15 years ago were war-torn and stuff like that, they're still learning the hip-hop. Not that they don't know it, but they're still learning it, and it's different. Sometimes you go and they're just observing you more and just looking at you and really getting into it, you know. That, because I try to tell people sometimes when they come, if they're not going all crazy, that doesn't mean they don't like you. A lot of times they're just studying the music and looking at you and studying you.
Yeah. I mean, United States rappers who become famous not in the mainstream way, but more or less in the underground, are still portrayed as a we perceive them as a bit not so accessible for European rappers. I mean, there are not many collaborations between European rappers and United States rappers. Do you have other experience? I mean, do you work with other people?
I work with a lot of people, and I have no problem collaborating. You know, a lot of times I thought in the past it was a matter of not being able to connect with the person, but now due to this internet stuff and MySpace and other things, it's more accessible now to connect with European rappers. So I do, and I will continue to.
Yeah, I would just like to change the subject to politics back. After Obama's victory, I mean, what's your opinion? What has changed? I mean, how did hip hop react to him being the new president?
Well, I would say, and then I'll let Diamond speak and explain his. I would say, you know, that it was a great thing. I mean, you know,
he was the first president that the hip hop nation got behind.
Exactly,
I say that much.
And from where I live in Brooklyn now. He was the first president where I actually seen dudes in the hood, the dudes that are in the street, actually go and register to vote. Where I live at, a lot of the Arab dudes, they own stores where on the voting day, a lot of them closed the store down for 1 or 2 hours on my block and went to the voting polls.
Right.
So Obama was the first president, I like Diamond said, that I think the hip-hop nation got behind.
Also the first president to admit publicly that he has Jay-Z on his iPod.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, this that was a big deal to, you know, to people in the street. Like, you know, what president ever admitted to even listening to hip hop?
Yeah, but still, I mean, he's a politician. Do you think that hip hop should be more critical towards Obama? Maybe just a bit more vigilant.
I mean, not really. When you look at politics, it is what it is. It's politics. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of double speak and this and that. It's always been that way. You understand? It's not like one man or one thing is going to come change this whole big ball of wax, because that's not going to happen.
Right.
And if you know the science behind politics, you know that the president basically is just a figurehead. It's not like he can go out and say, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. He can't do that. It's a ruling committee behind that.
Yeah.
You understand? It's not like Obama could go and be like, I'm going to shut this down. He got to go through a whole list of people to do that. So, I mean, you know, I think a lot of people sometimes go into too much of the rap and politics. You know what I'm saying? I mean, rap didn't start with politics. You understand what I'm saying? Rap started as a fun thing in the street, this and that. It evolved to politics because it became indoctrinated in society, so it had to take on certain things of society. But I think a lot of people put too much credence on putting rap with politics. You know, understand what I'm saying? It's just, you know, sometimes you want to rap just to rap and have a good time. You know.
Back to today's show. I will let you to welcome our listeners to the concert. Just before that. Can we expect some older stuff as well? I mean, of course, you're going to present the newer albums, but people are eager to hear the legend.
Yeah, of course. We're both going to run through all our classics and then, you know, give you a little bit of the new stuff. We're going to mix it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we understand that, you know, when you've been in the game for a while, a lot of your fans, they do want to hear the classics.
Yeah.
You know. So that's what it is.
Excellent.
Yeah, and I also want to say, you know, everybody, if you can make it, come on out. You know, you're not going to be disappointed. You know, we do it live. We don't lip sync.
Right.
You understand? This is going to be live.
No dancing.
No dancing.
No dancing. So all the fellas come out. And the ladies. Ladies, y'all come out too, because we got songs for y'all also.
That's right.
We'll dance after the concert.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming to the show.
Thank you for having us.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Dragi poslušalci in poslušalke, to sta bila Sada Tex in Diamond D, ki bosta nastopila danes na Metelkovi v klubu Gala Hala. Pridite čekirat, mislim, da karta stane 15 evrov, če ste zamudili pred prodajo, lahko vam je žal. Se vidimo danes, hvala lepa in čau. Cause if you're getting dough and you wanna get with her, yeah, you can hit her. Sally's 19 and nothing has changed. Born the prowl, her lifestyle's foul. I see her at the club, sipping.
sipping on a drink, playing herself in her girlfriend's mink. Talking about,
look at him, he's cute.
Thinking to yourself, does he have any loot? The guy walks up and he says hello. The lights are dim and the mood is mellow. They talk for a few, she grabs a coat. Told her girlfriends don't rock the boat. Her girlfriend said, don't go, you just met him. Knowing all along that Sally's gonna let him knock the boots from the bed to the floor. But Sally doesn't think that she's living like a whore. You little hooker, queen of the stunts, you better wake up and smell a blunt. Sally got a one-track mind. It doesn't matter if it's yours or mine. Cause if you're getting dough and you wanna get with her, yeah,
you can hit her.
See, Sally got a one-track mind. It doesn't matter if it's yours or mine. Cause if you're getting dough and you wanna get with her, yeah,
you can hit her.
21 years old and you have a son. On your own, you don't know which one to blame. There's no shame in your game. People know your name from your neighborhood fame. Bronx, Manhattan, Brooklyn, Staten, Black, Jamaican, Italian, Latin. There's no end to your list of men. And everybody knows how you love to bend. Now you're getting older and you care about your rep. You're still a hottie, but you try to watch your step. Never been in love, always been an object. Pretty young thing growing up in the projects. I remember when he used to play in the grass. Didn't have breasts, didn't have a. Became a slave to material things. And now you're snacking on four chicken wings. See, Sally got a one-track mind. It doesn't matter if it's yours or mine. Cause if you're getting dough and you wanna get with her, yeah,
you can hit her.
Yo, Sally got a one-track mind. It doesn't matter if it's yours or mine. Cause if you're getting dough and you wanna get with her, yeah,
you can hit her.
Radio Student.